Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We have no music. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Serbian Corner, a show where a couple of Serbians talk about the Nuggets on the DNVR YouTube channel and the DNVR Nuggets podcast feed. My name is Miroslav, calling from Studio P in Pančevo, Serbia. You haven't seen us together in a while I was harassing the DNVR crew with my presentations during the summer. Leading up to their Serbia trip, Voja has taken a deserved vacation during the off-season. Voja, how are things in Nebraska and how did you spend your non-basketball part of summer?
Well, yeah, hi everybody from, I guess, Studio L in Lincoln. It was fun. I mean, it wasn't technically, I mean, I was still doing the Nuggets Serbia stuff, so it was still like stuff to do, but not the corner. The presentations were funny as hell. I love when, like, eventually when they got to Serbia, when they realized those presentations like were actually all true, and they thought you were joking a lot of the times. Otherwise, watching a lot of movies, shows, books, all that stuff, making up the playoff time, because when playoffs come, I just watch basketball. So pretty fun summer all in all, concerts and all that.
Oh, that sounds fun. That's what young people do. I remember that fondly from the far past of mine. Okay, so in case there are some new people watching and listening to this episode, what we do on this show is a weekly recap of Nuggets basketball, quick takeaways, main themes, disagreements, and everything else. And if you believe me, this is episode number 28. Actually, our 28th. Episode in this 2022. So take that, D-Line, online with D-Line. I guess he has like five standalone shows, but he does have some segment shows. So well, our original plan when we started this show was, let's try just to make more shows than D-Line did, and we did that like 9 months ago. So it wasn't a big milestone to reach. Okay, let's now start with. Oh, I need some graphics here. Okay, let's now go to our Rakia shot.
Ooh, let's go.
Yeah. So Rakia shot. Rakia is a Serbian national alcoholic drink, usually taken before dinner to make a toast. So this segment is the quick headline, something that made impression on us quickly and strongly. And this one didn't really make a quick impression. It made an impression when was it? 3 weeks ago, something like that. And it's still stinging. So the DNVR crew have followed Serbia Eurobasket's run in depth, went together with the Serbian fans through highs and lows. That's why I don't want to speak in depth about the tournament today. For me, it was what appeared to be a good process with devastating results. But I might be wrong. But after a couple of weeks since it finished, if you had to distill this Eurobasket into one feeling, what would it be?
Well, I don't know, disappointment, dread, I guess, one of those things, just disappointment. I mean, you want me to expand or just give you one word? And then you
please expand on that.
First off, I saw the comment, like, there's, because I'm assuming Aleksandar Pavićević was thinking, was watching Serbian Corner when you were doing the presentations. There's no Excel spreadsheets when two of us are around. We talk about basketball. That was a special Serbian Corner for the guys to prepare.
Yeah, it was just harassing.
Yeah, it was just
harassment, and that's it.
Just to see how far Miroslav can push it. disappointment, yeah, just because we expected a lot, but it's not even that we lost. Like, I don't, ultimately, I'm fine, obviously, with not winning gold if the process was all right. And this was almost like we looked good, but it was disappointing how the coaching staff, how we didn't adapt to the modern game, to the opponents, to all that stuff. So Heart Attack is a good one. That's why it's disappointing, because we had the pieces, we just didn't bend, we just broke, and we were like, okay, we're going to be what we are, but nothing around, we didn't change with the flow of the tournament and the opponents we had, so that kind of sucks. And this is like the third big loss that we've had to the similar way, so that's why it was ultimately disappointing more than anything else.
Yeah, for me, I wanted to be disappointed the most, but if I'm honest to myself, the biggest feeling I had was just sadness. And so it's like not only sadness, but helplessness, if I can call it like that. Because You will see Adam's documentary, he's working really hard on that right now, talking about the history of Serbian basketball and Yugoslav basketball. And when you have to face the facts that you had like 34 medals during the history, although three of them have happened in the last 20 years, you can see the big drop off between the eras. And you have to be honest and say, yes, the Spanish basketball, for instance, don't have as long of a tradition, but what they have done in the last 20 years, it's so impressive. And even in this year's Eurobasket, when they literally brought their weakest team in years and still managed to win the gold. This is what Yugoslavia
they're the defending world and European champions.
Like. That's right. So this helplessness and sadness is the main emotion I had. As you said, we had three competitions. We failed to win the medal to the Olympics. We didn't even qualify, and it just feels like more of a logical outcome than like bad luck struck, something like that. Yeah. So we really need to face our current situation and say, okay, let's try to do the best we can, and let's mobilize all the levels of knowledge we have and try to make it work. But honestly, this sadness, this is the first time I really felt so hopeless about it. And I was like, I wasn't even mad. Like, I was mad back in 2019.
Yeah.
I was mad last year. And this time it was like, yeah, I had a colleague calling me right after the game, and he was supposed to watch the game together with his brother-in-law and their families together. And they just stopped talking to each other. And he asked me like, what should I do, man? I never felt this way. And he's younger than me, so I get it. He is still expressing stronger emotions than I am regarding this. But okay, let's not dwell too deep into this summertime sadness.
Let's not scrape the bottom of the rakia barrel. Let's move on.
Yeah. So let's now move to something much more jovial. Let's go to the burek of the week.
Yeah, contrary to what Adam thinks, this is a good food.
Yeah, he has no idea. I mean, I give him a pass because he likes so much of Serbian food. And okay, you can not like one thing out of it. I think he wasn't prepared because it was his first meal. So he was maybe facing a cultural shock of some sort. Maybe if he tried it like on the fourth day, it would be a different kind of emotion. But okay.
It's all good. He still then that knocks him in the Jokic fan standings because he doesn't like Burek. So now he's like a class below.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right. So Burek is a nice, juicy pastry.
Those are the rules. You can't. It's the rules. We didn't make them up.
That's right. They're just written here. So what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So Burek is a nice, juicy pastry dish that comes either with cheese, spinach, or meat, and it's well known because Nikola Jokic used to eat it a lot when he was younger, around the time he was turning pro. So this segment is the best thing of the week, what we liked the most, what was the juiciest storyline, performance, or a whole game. Basically, our high calorie count topic we liked the most. And for our Burek of the week, let's discuss the rotation coming out of the training camp. Mm-hmm. The starters seems to be set in stone. I don't think there's any discussion there. So we have Jamal, KCP, Porter, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic. It's one of the most expensive starting fives in basketball, slated to be paid $130 million just for this upcoming season. So you kind of need to play these guys.
Yeah.
So we have heard reports from the Nuggets training camp that the second unit was originally Bones, Bruce Brown, Davon Reed, Jeff Green, and DeAndre Jordan. And that is a very experienced second unit. In the previous seasons, I would say that my hope was that both Christian Brown and Zeke Nnaji would assert themselves into the rotation from game one, thanks to the awesome training camp, yada, yada. And there's still a chance we'll see them in the real rotation in some of the upcoming preseason games. But to be honest, I kind of like this veterans approach to both starters and second unit to the start of season. I'm willing to give a fair chance to DeAndre Jordan because he seems to have the trust of both the front office and coaching staff, but also he seems to be well-liked, you know, by his new teammates. Having young guys developing in your pipeline is a great thing, and I'm glad Bones used the huge chance he has got last season due to injuries, but at some point you need to have the structure in place from day one if you want to have the chance to rest your recovering guys and still stay in the driver's seat, as Paul George likes to say, for a high seed throughout the regular season. Having said all that, I still doubt DeAndre Jordan will keep his rotation spot throughout the season, and especially in the playoffs, but we'll see. So, my question, how do you feel about the reported planned rotation after the training camp?
I mean, you're right. I agree with the veteran thing. And you said, you know, Christian Brown and Zeke, and those obviously are the spots they can be challenged because it's Devon Reed, Christian Brown, and DeAndre Jordan, Zeke Nnaji on the five. So it's interesting. You say also like this is like a comparison coming up that no one expected. So you know the DeAndre Jordan. I mean, we talk about him. He has a job, and it's everyone's like, how the hell is he have a job? Like he's not good. Hasn't been like that great all these years. And, you know, Boogie Cousins has been great last year, and every time he plays, he's, like, good, but he doesn't have a thing. So I would compare him to, like, a very liked, not that great of an actor in Hollywood when somehow, like, they're still working, and they're, like, obviously the biggest star of like that is Keanu Reeves. Like, he's not going to give you The Godfather, but it'll give you a really fun, like, Point Break or a small cameo in like, a rom-com that just he plays a parody of himself because he's such a cool dude. And off the court, obviously, everyone likes him. So everyone was like, cool, let's work with him again. Like, he's an awesome guy. Again, I watched a lot of movies this summer. So I think this is the case with DeAndre Jordan because all the stuff that he's been talking about, all these training camp interviews and stuff, I'm surprised how personable he is and interesting. And he talks about Jokic, you know, in great light. And they went to the, you know, to the baseball game, all of it. It's just like, he likes Mike Malone. He liked the honesty that he got to the training camp. So I'm also willing to give him a chance, even though I was like scoffing at the fact we signed him and I couldn't believe it. But there was a reason he was still in the NBA, like, and proved to be like, you know, the locker room thing. As far as the on the court, finally we have 12, 13, 14 even players that we can rotate over. So I'm not worried. And I like the fact that we had first a veteran lineup, and I'm ready for the repeat of that 18-19 season when we just opened the season with like 11-2 and kept going to the number two seed. I want that stability of like we can win these games even if we're not great. Like there's no doubt in some of these games, even if we're down like 7, 5 minutes left, that we can easily win this. Not like Jokic has to score 15 out of 15 for the overtime and fourth quarter to win. So I'm really excited. And again, there's potential for younger guys to step up. It's not a closed door on them. Like both Christian Brown and Zeke Nnaji shouldn't be, you know, they probably aren't and shouldn't be depressed that they're not in the second unit immediately, because there's room for them to go in there. So that's also like a nice avenue for them to go.
We have comments here about Zeke maybe playing the backup five in a small ball unit.
And it's not that small either.
It's not that small. And in the second units, you usually don't have a seven-footer as your backup five anyway. So in most cases, Zeke should be able to play against big guys in the second unit, especially because he, as his agent really was really careful for us to get the information. He got another 10 pounds of pure explosion, pure muscle.
Wow. Media day bingo, let's go.
That's right. So he won that battle as well. So basically, I think it's a really, it should be a pretty good option behind DeAndre Jordan, especially if he doesn't pan out really well. What I like about DeAndre Jordan here is the fact that last year, the Nuggets started the season with no backup five whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
They were trying to play with the
Greens,
Dos Verdes, the Greens, and it really didn't work well. Especially because, you know, they were supposed to play with Facundo Campazzo, who is a traditional point guard who really needed a rolling big man that he didn't have. So this time around, at least we have an option of DeAndre Jordan, even if he sucks on defense, and I guess he will suck because his lateral movement is not as good as it used to be back in his All-Star seasons. I think he still can be a pretty useful role man and a vertical threat to backup units. And still, you don't need him for more than 10, 12, 14 minutes per game. So that should be, it's good that the Nuggets do have this option. I still think that they will move to Zeke Nagy at some point for sure, but to have an option. And, you know, the season is so long, you really need those 15, 16 guys. Unfortunately, we will not have Colin Gillespie for the majority of this season. But let's say we can count right now on 16 guys, and that's good. And I don't think, maybe outside of Peyton Watson, I don't see a guy on the Nuggets roster that's like unplayable. I mean, I have no idea about Peyton Watson.
I get what you mean. It's like he's most probably like on the depth chart, like the farthest down, on the raw, and also the position and like the experience and all that. What you said also about differences from last year and this year, just the two Greens, but again, baggage of them not playing a center for the longest time, and also not playing together in the same way. Zeke is not that far removed from college, where he played the center and didn't even shoot that many threes. Yeah. And now he's kind of tried to basically reinvent him in the NBA for the needs that they had with Michael Porter's injury. But now when that's not the case, now the need is at five. He can go back to more of a natural position. And it's one of those things like, yeah, maybe Zeke feels more natural at a four. And it looked decent last year with him and Boogie. But he will get – like if he's getting guarded by traditional fives or a little smaller dudes – or slower dudes, he might have more time to set up for the three. Like he won't have to rush it, although he was like scorching hot whenever he was open last year. And then also rolling with someone like Bones now at this time, like he has, you know, he can finish hopefully with this 10 pounds of muscle a little stronger and not have to pump fake, lay up, all that stuff. You can just actually just be open and dunk. So I can see him being like the DeAndre Jordan, like young light version of that old, you know, old Jordan with the Clippers. So we'll see. I mean, I like the idea of the whole flexibility situation.
Yeah, we have a question here from Dragutin. Is Kamagate coming over in December, January? No, the plan is for him to stay in France for another season come back for the summer league next season. And
that would be really, I don't even know if they can, but it would be really unusual to bring him halfway through the season.
Sure. I mean, you have to honor the contract he already has in France. Exactly. So if it was already
and again,
that was the decision and that's it.
As Alexander said, they don't have the open spot even
also
then. So like they would have to do
it's possible to free up the roster spot at some point, but not for Kamagate, probably for somebody who's already in the NBA. Okay, so are there any other takeaways you have about this, let's say, the depth chart the Nuggets? So if we speak about the bench of Bones and Reed and Bruce Brown and the old guys Green and Andrew Jordan, so who do you think are the guys that have the best chance of substituting in for the backup for the second unit?
Oh, you said third. You mean third string?
Oh, from the third.
Yeah,
stringers.
Well, I mentioned, I think Christian Brown for Devon Reed, maybe, like, depending on, again, also he's younger and everything, so he might have a chance to take over again. Obviously, if there's any injuries in the first unit, let's assume everyone's healthy. So, and then Zeke for DeAndre, or even, I mean, Zeke for Jeff at some point. But I really do have, like, I'm really interested in, again, how the season progresses and the fact that they have a veteran team. Even how that first unit goes, like, we saw Jeff was really good with the first unit. I wonder at some point if he comes in for Michael Porter. Like, it's terrifying, and I don't know if we want to talk about it now, but just the fact that they looked so nice with him and he knew how to use everything that Michael didn't, I wonder at some point they're struggling, if they're not going to cut the cord of, like, hey, this is not working, we're going to give up on this kid. But, like, if he would be better in the second unit with Bones and just flying all over the place and doing them more like Hooper basketball than what Jokic and the guys are doing. So I'm really, really curious, because I loved what Jeff Green could do. And we've seen him, what he could do in the second unit, which wasn't a lot in that rotation. So that's one thing. Of course, Bones, everyone, the hype is really through the roof with him. And I really can't wait if all that pans out to get a guy that can just torch it. Like, comes in and you give him the ball. There's no, there's no Monte with him to be the floor general of, like, hey, we're gonna run sets. We're gonna come this. If they can just give him the ball and run simple sets and just go off. Like, how is that too? Because he doesn't seem like the guy that's get bothered by pressure. Like, he's so cheerful and kind of just off the cuff with everything that I think he'll be just cool. Like, I'll get 20 shots, like, whatever. Not 20, but, like, I can get a bunch of shots in the second unit. Obviously, the fact that Bruce Brown was bringing the ball up, I like that idea as well. Just to have, so Bones doesn't have the ball entire time and gets worn down. Have someone else, doing it. And of course, my guy, Mr. Nugget, DeMonte, like, crowned him, like, basically, like, trained him to go Devon Reed. I'm really curious. I know Brown is knocking on the door in that position, but I think in this case, like, what Reed showed last year and how impactful he was, in my opinion, pretty decently, even when he was not that great on defense on specific guys. This way, I think he'll have actual position to play. His knockdown shots are an interesting, factor in that second unit. He could be like the KCP light in that second unit, the corner threes guarding, just his, his type of player. So just, it's exciting. I have them, like, we were doing Nuggets Serbia podcast. We're doing NBA previews today of the, we'll do the Pacific and Northwest next week. But in my lineups, I have them as number one seed in the West and in the NBA. So, like, it's not even just like I'm hyping it. And objectively, I can also look and get the avenue and be like, hey, I think we could do this. Even if Michael Porter doesn't pan out the way everyone wants, if he does, I think we can just blow the roof off the league. But even if he does, if he doesn't, and he's just like a regular shooter type guy that kind of comes in, gets a few shots and doesn't like impact the game that much as we hope, I think we have enough depth that they can compensate, like, not with his shooting, but with just like other aspects of the game that likes a similar impact. So we'll see. I mean, I can't wait. We're like 18 days away. Like, it's awesome.
What you mentioned about Michael Porter maybe, stepping out of the starting lineup. I mean, we don't really think he wouldn't be a starter at some point of this season. I mean, of course, if he's healthy and everything. It's more like, if you try to stagger him more with
that's what I mean.
And you have like Jeff Green playing a lot of minutes with the starters because of that. And honestly, yes, I agree. Jeff Green is a proven good option with the starters. But one guy that really intrigues me is Bruce Brown playing with the starters, because if he develops the chemistry with Jokic, I think he could develop. I mean, that would be awesome. If you would have two screeners for Jokic in Jamal and Bruce Brown, that would be just a dream come true. Yeah. And imagine all of those wide open shots for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or all of those, you know, empty dunks for Aaron Gordon. It's really intriguing. And if I always think about the defensive side of the starting five or the five on the court, it's not so much important what your guys play on offense regarding positions, but on defense you have to be able to guard all five positions on the other side. And when you have Bruce Brown and KCP, who are both, I mean, KCP is a pretty big guy. He used to play small forward for Washington a lot. And now you have Bruce Brown, who basically guards everybody from one to five. Doesn't matter.
Yes, we saw what Gary Payton did for Golden State last year, how much he meant to them. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if similar impact is shown with Bruce Brown. Like, it's not out of the question. Everyone's excited about that signing. We'll see. Might not work out. Who knows? But it's very interesting. I mean, certainly, and you're right, with the closing instead of Michael Porter sometimes, that's your defensive unit, because then Jamal doesn't have to guard your best players on the other, best guards on the other side. You have even two guys. So if, you know, it's really, I mean, we can get carried away, because when we start going hypotheticals and like, imagine this, imagine that, there really are like this time a lot more compared to like this time last year. Like, there's a lot more options than like, oh, just throw it to Jokic. Just in my opinion, of course, it's gonna end, you know, starts and ends with you throw it to Jokic even when Jamal's there. But there are more options, and I think like how the depth looks, I'm really excited, because it does remind me of the experience and that like second year after Millsap was here. Just when, you know, when we barely didn't make the playoffs, but then next year just came out, even wasn't that great of a start as like aesthetically, but they were just winning. And because it was so deep, like Jokic would come out, it wasn't that great of a shape. He would come out. That wouldn't matter. We had depth to maintain this. And then of course, when it comes to that, when you talk about Jokic getting out, that second unit end up beating the starters. So in that scrimmage yesterday, so at least there's some game to them. It's not like, obviously, like it's a scrimmage. We're not going to go into it too deep. But like, again, Bones, and he's like a guy that he wants to, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to attack that sixth man of the year, like for real. And then most improved, it's harder because it's second year, but sixth man, I wouldn't be shocked if he clean, you know, gets that. And if Denver is good as we think they can be. So exciting times.
Team is as loaded as it was ever been. I mean, you know, you remember those times when you had Manimal and you had like guys like Ill Will. So you had, you know, older guys with pretty big contracts you were not using a lot. Yeah. And the roster wasn't optimized. Right now, when you look at the, you know, five starters earning all that money, and then you have the reserves with pretty good reputation, and they're really good players. So the Nuggets are loaded. And what we need to remember is they will not be healthy, all of them, throughout the season. There will be many injuries there always are. But it's a good thing to have like 15, 16 guys you can really count on during the season and really, really feel good. I mean, if you have a stretch of 10 games where you have to play Vlatko Chanchar at the four as a backup four, you feel I feel fine with that for sure. We haven't mentioned him yet, even, and that's like the third stringers with some really good quality. What about Ish Smith? Do you have any expectations from Ish Smith?
No, I mean, I think he's experienced enough that I don't think he'll expect, he'll be like, oh, I have to play. Because you're right. We haven't mentioned him. I completely spaced on him. As they're like, we talk about people that can bring up the ball in someone's secondary when we lost with Monte and Will. But, yeah, Bones And Bruce Brown, you know, being able to dribble the ball is big. Man, I mean, again, Nishmit, serviceable. I think he, you know, he's your type of Faku from last year. You know, not a playmaker, but like down the hill, he knows his job. Like, it's, again, one of those guys, like, it's not an accident he's been in the NBA for so long. Like, there's so many guys that seemingly should be, are more talented that are not, or they dropped out of the league much quicker than he has. He's still in. I mean, it's so you can't deny that there's something there. And the fact that they haven't like fired him when they traded for him, they didn't waive him, gives me like at least the comfort that like Malone is comfortable then with the roster, that he has that break glass in case of emergency, and the circumstances aren't like Faku when he came over and he sacrificed a lot to come over. So even like on a personal, on like a human level, you feel bad not playing him. With Dish Schmidt, like, he's traded, he knows the job. He can, you know, he can be the third stringer, come in when you need him to fill in some minutes, and that's it. Like,
I actually think that Dish Schmidt is a very dynamic player for a third stringer, but there is a reason why he is a third stringer now. He's not a 3-point shooter at all.
Yeah.
And he's also like one of the worst free throw shooters from the back from the guard position in history of NBA basketball. It's crazy. He's like a 60% free throw shooter throughout his career, something like that. I saw that and I was like, what? But luckily, I don't think he will have more than one free throw per game, I guess. So that shouldn't be
an issue. That Dragutin had the comment, Ish is a control player. I love that. I mean, he's under control. Like, that's your class of below Monte and years and shooting. Just like, you at least know that because he's been in the league for a long time. He knows what to do. Like, so you have that in case of emergency situation, because again, you lost a few playmakers. And again, we talked about, you said optimized, and they agreed with you in the comments. It is optimized, and it's optimized around Jokic. So of course, if he's not playing, it's a completely different story, that obviously like different types. So who knows what would happen if he doesn't play. So I'm not feeling comfortable saying they're so good that even if Jokic doesn't play, they can still, you know, be competitive for a playoff spot. They should with all the max guys, but we haven't seen that yet. So I'm not commenting on predicting that we can be good if Jokic doesn't play for some period of time. But I wouldn't be surprised if we were good, because there is enough pieces to that they can actually be like step up a little bit more than some previous years.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay. Yeah, I think we've covered most of the roster.
Most
right
rotation.
Now.
Yeah.
And let's now jump into something more spicy. Something more spicy, like what a fish stew, spicy fish stew can be. So we finally got the DNVR crew in Sombor to try the legendary fish stew over there. And it is a traditional delicacy of the Northern Serbia, where Sombor is located. And it is a starter meal dinners both Nikola Jokic and I love. So we have that in common. And by the looks of it, most of the DNVR crew loved it as well.
I would want to subject him to a polygraph and ask him that. I'm not sure. We'll see.
he Dev took two plates of fish stew on my eyes. I mean, why would he do that?
Okay.
Yeah, he was sitting right next to me. Okay, so on the other hand, Voya is not a fan of
not a fan
fish
not
stew.
A fan.
just like I wasn't before. I had some really top-notch fish stews in recent
years. That's true. I think I had. I mean, a lot of my family is from North Serbia, so I've had, you know, when they make it like in that, you know, old school, like with the cauldron and everything. So like I'm still not fast. I like the goulash for venison goulash. Like that's my jam. The spicy meat that cooks all day and all that.
Well, goulash is the same thing. You just use like what's the word? The game like
venison.
Like
yeah. Well, I was saying venison just because it's deer meat. But yeah, game meat. Yeah.
Game meat. Yeah. Like yeah. It can be real as well.
Or rabbits
or pork or yeah. Yeah. Well, all of that, they usually use like half meat from the domestic animals and then half from the hunted animals to make it right. Okay. So anyway, what this segment is about is something we might disagree about.
Yes.
Now, we haven't discussed this before the show, so I'm taking a leap of faith expecting you to disagree with my
hot take. I think I saw a little bit into the notes, just bolded. I think I will disagree.
Yeah. So... Okay, so I have to be really careful here because I don't want to sound like a hater. So I expect for Jamal Murray to have a horrible start to the season. Now, let me give a caveat to that. Compared to what most fans expect.
Okay, so we gotta lay it out in some numbers and stuff. What does that mean?
Yeah, so...
Because some fans expect him to come out and go 30 a game and stuff. Like, that's...
That's right.
So
we should delve into not last season because he didn't play there, but the season before that in 2020, 2021, in December, in January. And if you remember, the season started around Christmas. So those were the first month and a half of the season. He averaged only, and I say only, 18.9 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists per game on 45, 35, 78 shooting. So... not too bad for a second option, but the efficiency was very average at best.
So you think worse than that?
Yeah, I think slightly worse than that. But let me give you the second part of that season. So after that, he averaged 22.5, 4.1, which remained the same, and 5.1 assists per game on amazing 49, 44, 92 shooting splits. Those are like prime Steve Nash splits. So amazing shooting splits. Of course, this is the Jamal we want to see, and I really think we will see that by the end of the season. But we've never seen that to the start of any of his seasons before. So if you add to that the getting up to speed after the long injury recovery, you know, and I just don't, I will not be surprised to see some pretty frustrating games from him. Like, I don't know, you remember his rookie season, he had like 0 from 16.
He was starting. I don't
expect that.
There
might be some really subpar efficiency games from him, and I just want to say I expect that, and I don't want anybody to panic about it. My reason. Fair. but do you agree with my
time? No, I'm looking through some comments because Ray says 16 in game. Yeah, that's... Someone says, I wouldn't mind. I'm okay with 15, 5, and 3. Nana said, she, as far as she can see, Jamal is still selfish. I don't know how you saw that from training camp. with like 3 videos. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that's like a thing sometimes in Serbia that people think that he wants to be the main guy in the team. And so he's like always selfish. So I don't know. I think... So what's your thing? Like, is it 15-5-3 kind of?
Listen, I really don't mind like 15-5-3.
No, but what's your but me. that's your if, I mean, if, what's your kind of
if that's
range?
On good if that's on good efficiency, but if he's shooting like 40, 32, and 70 splits,
that would be
a concern to me. I mean, it still wouldn't be a concern because I expect that, and I expect that to ramp up, you know, on time.
Exactly. So your thing is you expect some numbers around 15 mostly, with like
mostly the efficiency, because you have so much firepower. You don't need more than 15 points from him, really.
As I said, like you need, you know, if he can be like Monte at first, that's very serviceable because then you have, you know, your hierarchy of other players that they can also add whatever. I think it's going to be more. I think he starts, because a lot of those caveats, like he start off, obviously rookie season is weird anyway, But that 18 with like so efficiency was after the bubble. We know the circumstances and like the kind of burnout that happened in the bubble, and he kind of came in. I'm like, I got to do the job. And then like he ramped it up of like reminded himself and, you know, got through. I believe because he hasn't played for so long that he's really hungry, and not in a way I'm just going to shoot 20 shots. I think he comes out really, really, I mean, not hot, scorching is like 25 a game. I think he's going to be closer to 20 than 15, based on like his, just the appetite. And I know everyone's like he's tapering expectations. Everyone else is. I also think like you just how the season usually go. They don't, the first like two out of three games, first three games is Jazz and OKC. So, and Golden State. So like you can skip Golden State and play those because it's back to back and play the other two worst ones. And you can get off like 30 a game in those. So I believe that. And I think just because he hasn't played in so long, like he'll approach this as not just, he'll approach this as the bubble. I think, how the bubble was like just a lot of non-playing time. I'm like, I need to do this. So I think, yeah, more on the disagreement side of like, I think it'd be better than you think, but maybe not as good as some people think that he comes out with like a bubble numbers of like, you know, 70, 70, 90 or whatever he had like in those games. So let's see, I think
it was against Utah, to be fair.
It's fair. So I'm closer to like the season before, even like that wasn't technically great, but it was 18. On like 45%, I'm like, if that, I think I'm closer to that than 15 and like 45.
Okay, I have a question. So, can you imagine a situation where he is averaging less points than Bones in first 2 months on worse efficiency, and some fans screaming, "Bring Bones as a starter instead of Jamal"? Can you imagine that scenario? Like,
oh, I mean, you can
scorching hot start to the season.
Well, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Bones goes off. I would also be surprised if Bones really fizzles out in the first month because he's so hyped. But again, let's go with the scenario you said. He scorches. Jamal is like your typical bad star Jamal. And nothing surprises you, man. Like people are quick to turn on anyone. So turning on a guy that, you know, those haters that were talking about him, why is he not coming back for the playoffs? He's like a weak guy. Like he doesn't want to come back. He didn't do the rehab well. He's lazy, all that. Like those guys would be the first ones to come out and go like, Bones is better. Just start Bones. So I can see it. I wouldn't agree with it at all. But I can see it. I can see it happening. Like not even like surprisingly. Wouldn't even be surprised if. I don't think he gets booed at home. I was like, I was gonna go that far. I don't know if he gets booed off the court, because I think that he has that bubble that still there's a lot of credit, and just the fact that he was hurt playing for the team, and just how the vibes with him and Jokic. Like, I think he's not Will Barton type. Like I think he can. He goes. He has a little bit more than to get booed from his home fans, right? As he's coming back like 2 months, you know, 2 months.
No, he is a much higher level player than Will Barton. Will Barton, unfortunately, is in that category of players where it's easiest to get to be a scapegoat. You know, if you're not good enough to really be a starter, but you have to be there because there's nobody else in your place. So yeah, I don't think. Having Jamal to be a scapegoat this season. Michael Porter, who knows?
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, someone's has to be. I saw Ray had a good comment. I imagine calls for them to start together. I can see that if also KCP, if what you said with the combo, like KCP is also not performing. He's performing like bad Gary Harris years. Jamal is struggling a little bit to come start the season, and then Bones is torching. I would see what Ray is saying, that people would call for Jamal Bones' backcourt start first before actually to sub in for Jamal. So that's a good one.
Okay, so we are mostly
so much for disagreement. But it's this. I mean, we disagree. Like I think he's gonna be much better than Miroslav thinks. Like I'm more on the. It's closer to 20 In like over 45% shooting than what Miroslav thinks.
Maybe this is just the residue of Eurobasket feelings. So I'm preparing myself to, on a very low point, like 40, 32, 75 shooting from him. And if I expect that and it happens, it will not feel too bad to me. Yeah. And anyway, I think even with that kind of level of play from him, I think Nuggets would be still fine. They just need to hold all of their horses together. Okay.
I want to comment. Yeah. Tommy had both Murray and MPJ have pressure on them as max players. That's what comes with money. I agree. I would just also add there's a little bit of a difference there because Jokic is the main guy. So there, even though there is pressure on them, I still think like there's just inside the locker room, like there's not as much as maybe we think there is. Because it's not Paul George, Kawhi Leonard coming back from injuries and our max players and you expect them to carry it. This is even like the role players around Jokic that are now besides Murray and MPJ, they're still good enough with Jokic, even though these guys can struggle to be good enough to get the Denver to the playoffs. So it's I think like internally they're just like, hey, just bring what these, you know, bring what Monte brought. MPJ is basically whatever he brings as a bonus from last year because we didn't have that type of player anyway. So I think those are in their case favorable situations. But I agree that with the max label, you know, there's a lot of pressure.
Yes, I agree with that. And I will move back to I will circle around once more on Will Barton when we go around the association at the end of the end of the show. But now I have to make an announcement. So okay. Before we continue, this is one of the last, if not the last, show of Serbian Corner. Okay, so not because we are leaving.
I'm laughing because someone
you
said
better
like,
believe it.
Serbian Corner not, every Saturday. Yeah,
we are not. It's because we want to rebrand a bit soon, and with that, we will introduce some new segments. And the first one I want to give you a sneak peek into is the Nuggets stat of the week. Yeah, I know.
Boom, boom, boom.
I know. So super original. So nobody, I have no idea how nobody thought of it before. Nuggets stat of the week. So every week I will try to find a stat nobody is brave enough to talk about, or more realistically, a stat so bizarre nobody wants to talk about it anyway. So I will just use the Flirty Dozen graphic for this because it will be kind of a question for you.
Okay.
Did you know that in the last regular season, one player missed team worst 89 free throws, had team worst 281 turnovers, which was more than double than the second placed worst on the team, had team worst 191 personal fouls, and also missed team worst 547 field goals? This player was not fans' scapegoat, Will Barton. It was, in fact, the two-time NBA.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Jokic, right?
ESPN's second best player in the world, Nikola Jokic. And that's. I mean, it's funny
because it's the
say
volume,
that.
Right? It's a lot.
It's just
amount
the
of yeah.
sheer volume. It's like I think Michael Jordan is a guy with the most missed shots in the history of the league. Probably yeah. LeBron, to be honest, right now because LeBron has played in so many more yeah. games comparing
Get
to Mike.
The MVP.
Mike was like by far the guy with the most missed shots in yeah. history of the league. But you need to miss a lot of shots to get a lot of shots. So
especially at the guard, yeah. The guard style.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, funny. I know as soon as you said free throws, I'm like, I think it's in turnovers, I'm like, oh, I think that's Jokic. Because that's just it's yeah, volume, right? It's not the percentage of like, yeah, the free throw percentage or something. It's just
I also thought he would be pretty bad in assist to turnover ratio, but actually he was pretty good. He wasn't like top five, but he was pretty good, but that's a talk for another episode, hopefully soon. So yep. For the very end of this show, tell me what non-Nuggets things are you looking forward the most for the upcoming season, like which teams, which players, which maybe possible implosions that are on the horizon. And I would like to start with the Washington Wizards because they're in Japan right now together with Golden State Warriors. And our guy, Joel Rush, had some nice interviews with Monte Morris. And interesting thing happened. Will Barton wasn't playing on the first game. And so he asked Monte, is Will okay? Yeah, he's okay. Don't worry about it. It's just a preseason game. He has some kind of soreness somewhere and we don't want to risk anything. And man, I don't miss that. I mean,
yeah, it's true.
that was such an often discussion about will be ready for the start of the season, or will he be able to play through January or something like that. So are you excited to see Monte in his new role as a starter?
I am. I mean, as a resident Monte champion, yes, I am. That's like my I'll probably watch him a lot. We did Nugget Serbia today, and the Wizards were on the docket. One of the teams we talked about, and I put him very low. I mean, they're like 11th on at the East, for in my opinion. Just they're weird. Like they have young top 10 picks that might not play. Now it's like Barton question again with the will he start or not, should he start or not, and but I'm looking forward to watching Monte. And again, they might have a thing of like, we're going to watch him first month and then I might tune out because it's just unbearable. Especially watching him with Porzingis together. It's going to be sad to me. Otherwise, but my number one thing I'm looking forward to once I declared again earlier, I was recording and I get through about it. I declared Pelicans as my number two team this year. I have those rotating. I love like have Nuggets number one and just like see which ones interest me for number two. Last year was Memphis. Memphis is still there with, like, I love Kenny Lofton Jr., so I want to see if he plays. If he plays, Memphis might be number one. Screw the Nuggets. but Pelicans, I just liked what they did last year, and I love their coach. That was one of the best coaching jobs, even with whatever the whatever teams we're talking about. Even last year, like, I'm counting even the Golden State. Like, that was... That first round was such a nice round against Phoenix Suns, and it was a lot of chess moves that I liked. So that was pretty dope. And Zion looks better, so that's going to be interesting. And they have like now they have CJ for a full year. And again, they're not. I don't assume they're going to start 1-13 like last year. So that might, because after that they were really good. Like when you count out those 14 games. So I'm really excited. Yeah, I was joking. I mean, if anyone was like thinking when I said screw the Nuggets, because I love Kenny Lofton Jr., so that was like just a joke. If he ends up starting for Memphis, I would have to like re-examine my loyalties because I love him so much. But he's obviously a two-way player. He's not going to start. So what about you? What's your look ahead?
I want to see Orlando Magic, how they look like.
Nice.
They have a really interesting roster. And I don't think they will be very good, but they have some really, really fun players over there. So I want to see that. I also want to see some teams that I don't think that will be really good this season, like Memphis Grizzlies, who I loved last season up until it felt they became too good. So I'm not supposed to like them anymore. Yeah. But you know, the I don't know when the JJJ will return.
That's the problem.
That's the big problem for them. And they also lost a couple of really reliable guys in Slow-Mo and what's the other guy? The
Melton.
Melton to Philadelphia. So, I think they might drop from they were like number two seed last season. So I could see them dropping all the way to six or seven this season. I mean, it's not a really fun answer to say, but Minnesota Timberwolves should be really, really interesting to watch. I don't know how fun it will be, especially because, you know, there are some guys over there we don't really love. But on the other hand, you know, if you have a fun brand of basketball and something that's not being played anywhere else, that's also a wrinkle I enjoy watching. Do you have a team in mind that could be much worse compared to last season?
Maybe. But you said Memphis. I have them at six. They were really, really high last year. Just again, you said JJ and the hierarchy of, because they have, I mean, they have people in place that could step up. It's just that at this point, looking at it, you lose Slow-Mo, you don't have a guy that replaces him. But then maybe, like, you know, how people played in summer league, you think maybe there's someone that steps up. So in that case, like, there could be, but again, they're worse than obviously that they are. Phoenix a little bit. I think I had them fourth in the West. That's obviously, I mean Utah, but I mean we're not counting Utah and San Antonio.
No, I do have
Charlotte much worse than they are projected. They have like over 30 something wins for like the over unders. I have them as like 14th in the East, like tanking basically, like the shutting down LaMelo quick and kind of going. But like on paper, they're still like a weird, like okay team, but you know, losing a bunch of guys to like weird legal stuff, or not weird, like you know, despicable stuff. And then Harold gets signed. okay, well, it's weird. Okay, Miles Bridges is obviously horrible. With Harold, it's just weird because amount of weed is like on one hand, like it's legal in a lot of places, but 3 pounds of it in your car, that was like a weird thing. So like, especially with us, like we're Serbia, like it's not legal. So in Nebraska, it's not legal. So I'm like, still, it's still weird in my brain to like level that. But those two guys, I mean, those were pretty big for them. Could have been pretty big for them. New coach again. All that stuff. So I think they're going to be much worse than last year.
One thing
with a similar roster.
One thing that's really big for the Nuggets seed before the playoffs might be the fact that they have both Utah and OKC in their division.
Yeah, four,
so those four should be piece, eight yeah. guaranteed wins. And I will say before the season, I really hope the Nuggets get all of those eight wins, because those two teams are going to tank strongly, and it will be a real disappointment for me.
So, yeah, almost would be a disappointment if they win all eight and not over 10, every one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that take as well. How do you feel about Bojan Bogdanović in Houston?
Detroit.
Oh, sorry, Detroit. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, they're also weird. Like they were also for me the worst team to put on my standings, because I don't know what the hell they want, like what to do, because they have all these young guys they can play, but if they do, I don't think they have enough quality and experience to be higher up than 13. But then they signed Bagley. They have now Bojan as a vet. They have, you know, Isaiah Stewart now. Duran is a young guy. So, like, you have Ivy and Cade, but then you also, you now have Bojan and Sadiq Bey is there. Like, again, Kevin Knox, they signed for more than a minimum. Marvin Bagley, like, I don't know what they are going to play. So, I'll see within the first week, basically. Like, are they going to try to want to be competitive, or they're still kind of in the limbo trying to get some picks? Because I don't know what they would be waiting for, because they got Cade. Like, I don't. Like kind of like what you said about Orlando, like they should be attacking a lot more. I just don't think they can do much. Like
the start of the season is really important, and Matt Moore likes to say this, but like after the first couple of months of the season, you can already see the eight teams that are competing for the playoff places. Now it's more complicated because you have the play-in for all the teams from 7 to 10. Yeah. It's a bit more complicated, but in most seasons, you can get the glance of which teams are not at all competing for playoffs and which teams are serious for that. So I really hope the Nuggets will put their pedal to the metal right from the start.
Yeah, I agree.
And show the rest of the league that they're the real deal. So on that high note, let's end this show.
Number one seed in the NBA.
We promise you guys we'll see you next weekend. Again, I don't know if it will be still Serbian Corner, but see you in more or less 7 days. Have a nice one.
Have a nice one. Idemo Nuggets. Idemo Nuggets.